is offense and defense. Sometimes there are hugs and kisses, but overall, we need to have a plan. So today we continue by looking at God's plan for us in playbook play number two, relying on His strength. Last week we talked about putting Christ first. This week I want to talk about relying on His strength. And we want to use a verse that I ended with last week out of Philippians, that I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. It's a very short statement. It's a very simple statement, but so powerful and so difficult, I think, in some ways to live out. And so today I want to unpack this one verse with some ideas that I think that we can walk away with and understand how that we can live out a life relying on His strength. Well, I want to start, first of all, by looking at that first statement, I can. The I can statement can be looked at two different ways. The first way is the prideful approach. The prideful approach says this in Genesis 11, the people of Babel had gotten together, and they were pretty proud of themselves. They thought they could do anything. And so here's what they said in verse 4. The people of Babel came together and said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to heaven so that we may make a name for ourselves. Wow. How unrelated the Bible is to modern times, right? Those ancient people are totally different than the way we are today. Sears Tower, Chrysler Tower, Trump Tower. Nobody builds things and puts their names all over it. Walmart, Sam's Club. Nobody, Wendy's. We all are so just ready to give thankfulness to everybody else. I always think sometimes that I'm thankful that automobile manufacturers had names that we could pronounce, you know, like Chrysler and Ford, Dodge. Imagine if they had, you know, hard names. You'd all be like driving around in Harshenfriggers. Doesn't quite roll off the tongue, does it? Probably wouldn't fit across the front either. We like to name things after ourselves. Let us build a tower to reach to heaven. The I can attitude. The I attitude. That thing that we do so that I can see me. That approach, the Bible tells us time and time again, results in the fall, results in sin, results in unrighteousness, results in nothing but trouble. But there is a humble approach. Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 27 and 28. Listen to these words. Paul says, but God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. I'm reminded of that every time that I preach. He chooses the foolish to speak for Him. Goes on to say, God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. Think of David and Goliath. God chose the lowly things of this world, the despised things, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are. We have to do things. A few weeks ago, I talked about the ministry of the trowel, in which Nehemiah, he had this vision, this heart, this passion. He said, God, your temple is unprotected. Your people are unprotected because they don't have a wall. And he commissioned and asked the king to send him, and he went and he rebuilt the wall. And we talked about, if you remember the story, about how the people came against him, and that his men, with a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other, they laid the bricks because they were weak. They were exiles. They were slaves from another country who wandered back home. And if you remember the story, Nehemiah used rubble. He didn't go out and get the newest, the best equipment. He didn't go out and get like the greatest material. He asked the men and women and priests and the people who were there in the city, these ragamuffin group of people who had wandered back from their exile, and said, walk out your door, grab what's in front of you, and let's build a wall. Because God's temple deserves protection. We were studying, if you are following along in your Discovering God series right now, we are going through the story of Noah. And as we study this today in our small group before church, we were talking about, you know, Noah didn't just go down to Home Depot and pick up some wood, right? Now, if you've seen the, it's not Bruce Almighty, it's Evan Almighty. If you've seen that movie, in the movie of that, which is their kind of rendition of the Noah's story, is that God had all this wood just delivered to his house. I bet Noah would have loved that. But instead, he went and he took and he had to cut the trees and hew the trees and make the timber, and he built this ark. God says, you can. And Noah says, I can. And he did it. And it took labor. I'm reminded of when he used the people of Israel. They were in slavery in Egypt. They are low of low. And then go a little bit lower. Horses that pulled the chariots in Egypt had more value than an Israeli slave. But God took those people out of Egypt. And when they left Egypt, if you go back and read that story, they didn't leave empty-handed. There's over 1 million of them. And it says they carried the riches of Egypt with them. And God took them out, and he built a nation. And that nation, to this day, is still a focal point in changing and shaping the world. Just watch your news. You will be hard-pressed to go a day without hearing something about Israel and Palestine and who's on which side and who's doing what and where do we all line up with this. I can, he says, use foolish things to shame the wise, weak to humble the strong. Lowly things of this world. And I love this, how Paul writes this. The things that are not. The things that are not. He uses them to nullify the things that are. Have you ever felt in your life you're the thing that is not? Have you ever felt invisible at work? Have you ever felt unseen in your own family? Unappreciated? He uses us. Scriptures tell us in Psalms that despised is the one who hangs on the tree. And yet he sent his own son, Jesus Christ, to hang on one. In the Roman world, there was nothing more embarrassing or shameful than to be crucified. It was the lowest of low. It was an intimidation for those around because it was a horrific death. But Jesus says, I can. And so can we. I can do all things. Why are we able to do all things? Because the second thing that I want us to see is that God has authority over all things. Colossians 1:16 and John 1:3 both echo this. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Things that are spiritual, things that we don't see with our natural eyes that come against us. We read in Ephesians chapter 6, God has control over all those things. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and most importantly, for him. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. When we read in Philippians when Paul writes that I can do all things, he knows he can. because God is in control of all things. If I am doing what God is asking me to do, and I am walking in His will in accordance to His plan, whatever we may see as an obstacle, He can remove. Whatever we list as things that are the reasons why we can't, He'll show us a way to bypass or walk around. You know, when we sat together yesterday and we envisioned some things, I'll tell you, we have some people with some very creative minds. And some of the things that we envisioned, we have a saying that in leadership training that they talk about big, hairy, audacious goals. BHAGs. It's a business term, but I believe that God has some BHAGs for us. And if we sit and only look and see what we have and say, well, I can only do that much, we will miss out on what God has planned. God has control over all things. Ideas about building new buildings? Well, we don't have the money. You're correct. But God does. Well, we don't need more room. But what if we brought more people? What if God sent to us? And I asked that question yesterday. What if God, some reason miraculously, you know, if you read in Acts chapter 2, it happened. It said they added to them daily. And it wasn't just like one or two. If God decided to pull an Acts 2 and 3,000 people walk through that door tomorrow, where would we put them? Front row. Front row. Thank you, sir. Plenty of room. God is big. His vision, His purpose, His kingdom is big. We are little. One of the first things we have to do is let us get out of the way and let God move. For God, all things are possible. But not just on what we can do. The third thing is because through Him, He gives strength. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." And I'm going to tell you right now, looking at some of the goals and ideas that we have moving forward, it's going to take power. And it's going to take some love and grace. And it most definitely will take self-discipline. But anything in our life that we desire and look and pursue after that's worth anything does, doesn't it? This afternoon, there will be men who will run up and down fields who are paid millions of dollars. I will tell you right now, they didn't just wake up this morning and, hey, let's go play a game. They have bit their bodies and their mind in training for not just a day or a week or a month, but their entire life because of self-discipline. Recently, in a study that we were doing with our youth about making wise decisions, I talked about Larry Bird. Many of you know who Larry Bird was. He was a very famous basketball player from Indiana. When he was in high school, he hurt his ankle. And for most sophomore age guys, if you had been hurt, well, I'm hurt. I can't play this year. Larry didn't play that year, but you know what he did? Every day he went to school before school and stayed after school, and he shot anywhere from 500 to 1,000 free throws to keep himself in that shooting form. When he finished his NBA career, he had a nearly 90% free throw percentage. You think that came overnight? It is because he had power and self-discipline. And when he approached that free throw, he knew he could make it. Some of us feel unempowered because we have not self-disciplined ourselves. You don't believe me? Most of us, if I challenge you to run down to the end of the street, at the end of the driveway, and run back without stopping, how many could do it? Now, there's a handful of you because there's some of you runners in here that I see on Facebook. You're running marathons because you're crazy. But for the rest of us couch potatoes, I don't know if I can make it to the door. Why? Because I have not self-disciplined myself to do that. So if you ask me to run a race, I may feel a little bit unempowered. But isn't that what Paul says? Run the race that Christ has laid out before you. Guys, the Christian walk is a marathon. It's an Ironman with like a Death Valley triathlon all built in together. I know what some of you are going through with illnesses and sicknesses and jobs and the things are coming to grin. Hey, if it had been easy, anybody could do it, right? Self-discipline. You want to feel empowered by God? Discipline yourself. This book right here is like a battery. You got to plug into it. If you guys got cell phones, and I know most of you do, if you're like me, you charge it up in the beginning of the day. By the afternoon or so, if you've been using it, what happens to the power? It starts to diminish, doesn't it? What do you do to get that power back? You plug it back in. Guys, strength comes from within. That's the fourth thing I want us to see. That power is going to come from within. Ephesians 3:16. Strengthened with power. This was Paul's prayer to the church of Ephesus. He prayed that they would be strengthened with power through God's Spirit in your inner being. In your inner being. So how did those who run those marathons and Ironman and all of those kind of things, if you watch American Ninja, how do those guys know to climb up the doorknobs and swing from like little tiny parts to another part that like by fingertip to finger? That's crazy, right? Because they convert their house and their apartment and their backyard into those things. And they're flipping off the top of buildings and swinging by ropes like just for fun. Because they are preparing themselves for that night, that moment when the lights are on and ding, the clock goes, that they are going to try to achieve this goal. Guys, inside of us, we have to prepare for a goal. But it is not something that we do through our physical strength. Praise God. He doesn't say like, well, now you're a new Christian. You need to do 10 push-ups. And by the time you're 20 years down the road, you better be doing 1,000 push-ups. You need to be physically strong. If our spiritual maturity required on our physical strength, that would be a cruel joke, since the older we get, the diminishment of our physical strength. But God has diminished nothing internally. Sit with your grandparents or great-grandparents. Sit with a saint of God who's been walking with the Lord for decades. I remember visiting my grandmother in the nursing home. And it was all she could do with her arthritic, bowed legs to get up out of her chair to give me a hug. But God bless her if she didn't pull out her Bible and say, Jason, listen to what I read today. Look what I learned today. Because why? Power through His Spirit comes from our inner being. We have to be plugged in. You want strength from Christ, you have to be connected spiritually. And there's a fifth thing I want us to see, is that we are strengthened not for our own glory. We are strengthened for His. 2 Timothy 4, verse 17 and 18. Paul writes this, "The Lord stood by my side and gave me strength." Wow. Would you not love at the end of your life to be able to say that? Would you not love to be able to say that right now? I know some of you are going through some things, and right now, if the Lord was not standing by you, giving you strength, you wouldn't be here this morning. And maybe if you're not going through it right now, maybe you've been through it before. You know those times. Lo, that I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but I will fear no evil. You know those moments when there is no reason for you to be standing, to be getting out of bed. But the Lord gave me strength. so that through my message he might make, that his message may be fully proclaimed. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Guys, I could tell you about examples in my own life, and I'm sure that you probably can think of some in your own life. But I want us to take a look at a video here of two people. Many of you may know Nick, and pronounce his name. I'm sorry if I mess it up. It's Vijicic. When you see, if you ever see the spelling, it's V-I-J-I-C-I-C. If anybody else knows how to pronounce it, good for you. But Nick is most commonly known as the man without limbs. He has no arms and no feet. And he has a ministry that rocks the world for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's going to also be talking in this video with Bethany Hamilton. Many of you know her from Soul Surfer, the movie, that lost an arm. I want you to hear what these two people talk about when they say, through Christ who strengthens me, I can do all things. Let's watch.
Well, surfing is not the number one thing in my life, and Jesus Christ is, and that's what gives me the strength and hope to make it through every day. And,
awesome.
That's what gives me, he's the one that gives me strength to surf and the ability to go out in the ocean and overcome the fear of sharks, overcome the fear of not being able to do certain things, and he's my positive attitude.
Amen. Awesome. And that's what we have in common, absolutely. Yeah. That's the amazing thing, just the power of God. And I can see just the glory of God in your life, and through your eyes, just the love of Jesus Christ. And it's so powerful. So would you say that maybe God allowed that to happen so that he could fulfill the plan that he has for you?
Yeah, hands down. I know that God let me lose my arm for a reason. I can see why now, just like so much good has come out of my life, and the opportunity just to share my faith, and that I can still surf, I can share my story of coming back surfing with one arm, and I'm competing with one arm, and there's so many people that have lost hope in their life, and through hearing my story, it's changed their life, and I just know that I would never take my arm back in a second.
Really? No. You'd never change. If you had a choice right now, would you have your arm back or not?
Definitely not.
Why?
I don't know, I don't need it. I can surf with one arm, and the hope that it gives people with all four limbs, you know?
That's awesome. So if there's someone out there who's going through some sort of circumstance, how do they have the joy that you have? What encouragement can you give them for just so they can hold on through their circumstance?
I want to start off by just saying that Jesus loves you with all his heart, and he's given his life for you. And the main verse that kind of helped me get through everything was Jeremiah 29:11, and it's, "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And God has a plan for each and every one of you if you just give your life to him. And you know, he calls us to love the people around us, and if you're having relationship problems, just forgive that person, because everyone needs forgiveness, and just try to love them. And with God's strength, you can do that.
Amen. Amen. Wonderfully said. I love you so much. Give me a big hug.
Love you too.
Oh, awesome. Can I do like a high five on this one? Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's
I could do all things through him who strengthens me. Would you take back your arm? No. Why? If you heard what she said, because it gave hope to other people. Whatever you're going through right now, rely on his strength to get you through. He won't let you down. And I'm sure he has something awesome planned for you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much that it is sometimes difficult, but we trust you that we can do all things because you control all things, all circumstances, situation, even sharks, Lord, to somehow bring about glory to your name. God, may we face whatever it is that you bring into our life with the strength and power that comes through your Holy Spirit in our inner being. May we not be reliant on our own wisdom, our own strength, but God, totally humble, letting we who are not show about you who are. The real and authentic God who is in control of everything and should be glorified for it. It's in your name we pray. Amen.